If God is omniscient, why do we pray? And I'm going to give you three answers to that question. You're going to walk out of here with a clear sense of purpose in prayer, why you pray in a way that's going to refresh and reinvigorate your commitment to prayer.
God's omniscience means He knows everything, even what we're going to say when we come to Him in prayer. So if He doesn't need the information we bring, why pray? Pastor Don Green will address that question today on The Truth Pulpit. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, I don't know too many Christians who claim they have a perfect prayer regimen, but that really isn't the point, is it?
No, Bill, it's not, and I'm glad that you said that. My friend, somewhere along the line, we got the idea that God will accept us more if we just pray enough or if we pray in the right way. That's the wrong way to think. God, if you are a Christian, already accepts you completely because you are in Christ. Christ is perfect and God sees you in Him. That means that you pray for different reasons. And that's what we're going to see as we examine why do we pray in this series on The Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible open and ready as we join our teacher now in The Truth Pulpit.
We're going to finish a brief series that we've done on the omniscience of God and answer this question, why do we pray if God already knows everything? And we want to be able to just give you some biblical way to think about that. And I think that by the time that we're done, it's going to be something that actually greatly refreshes you in your prayer life as we consider what Scripture has to say about it. God knows everything. He knows everything real and potential. He knows the future. He knows Himself. He knows His creation. He knows us inside and out. And so God is omniscient. He knows everything. And we saw that there are life attitudes that should flow from God's omniscience for the Christian, and actually for every man who would ever consider the doctrine of omniscience. Omniscience produces reverence for God because you see how high and great and lofty He is. No one knows everything except for God. It produces a love for His kingdom and a settled mindset of obedience and dependence on Him. We realize that sin and disobedience is futile because God sees everything. He knows everything. And because He knows everything, and because He loves us, we can depend upon Him for our needs. In Christ, we can depend on Him to wash away our sins. And so, just a consideration of the fullness of God's omniscience drives our lives into a particular mindset that serves us all of the days of our lives. And what I would have you notice is that there's a certain way, there's a certain method of thinking about these things that drive you into the right direction spiritually. Your starting point is God and His attributes, and you start your thinking, your understanding with who God is and what His attributes are. And once you start there, then certain things start to flow from that. If God is holy, then we must be holy. If God is gracious, then we can appeal to Him in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. If God is great, then we would be humble before Him rather than self-centered and self-seeking in our lives. Where you start your thinking determines the trajectory of everything else in life. And having started with His omniscience and saying, okay, there are life attitudes that come from that, it narrows you into a particular realm of right thinking. And then we come to go one more step specific to a particular practical application of those truths. If God knows everything and we're humbled before Him and we're loving Him and obedient and dependent upon Him, then it's going to work its way out in the way that we think about prayer as well. And that's what we want to consider briefly. And so the question is, why do we pray if God knows everything? Why do we pray if God knows everything? And here's how I would want you to frame your thinking about that question. That question, why do we pray if God knows everything? That question shows an undeveloped view of God and of prayer. It shows that the very fact that that question would be asked shows that someone is missing the big picture on a number of things. And that's okay. It's okay to, you know, one of the reasons that we teach and we study together is so that we could grow. But what I want you to see is that very question shows a very flawed and missing view of the doctrine of omniscience. Let's ask the question this way in light of omniscience. Does God need us to pray so that he can get information from us? Do we need to pray in order to inform God about our situation? Well, that couldn't possibly be the case because God is omniscient. He knows everything. Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so we can't be praying for the purpose of conveying information to God that he's lacking. That would contradict omniscience. Let's frame it a different way. Ask a different question. And this gets a little bit closer to the nerve center of your heart, maybe. And perhaps as we touch this nerve, it can liberate you from some bad thinking that gives your spiritual life a bad trajectory. Ask the question this way. Does God need your counsel in order to know the best course of action for the things that you're praying about? Does God need your advice so he can incline himself in the right direction? And obviously the answer is no. God already knows the best course of action because God is omniscient. He knows everything. God doesn't need new information. And so we're not praying in order to inform God or to give God our counsel and our advice as if he were wavering and waffling on what he should do in any given circumstance. That violates omniscience. And so what that means is this. It means that we need to rethink and retrain our entire thinking about God and prayer if we're going to contemplate prayer rightly in light of the doctrine of omniscience. And that's what we get to do in it briefly here together. Why do we pray then? If God is omniscient, why do we pray? And I'm going to give you three answers to that question that are kind of independent of one another, but they reinforce each other. I'm not pretending that we're going to say everything about this topic that we could, but when we're done, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to walk out of here with a clear sense of purpose in prayer, why you pray in a way that's going to refresh and reinvigorate your commitment to prayer, because all of these things are compelling. Why do we pray? Point number one, you should pray because the Bible commands it. You should pray because the Bible commands it. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll kind of use this as our home base. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, "When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, we looked at this and we made this observation. That's a statement of omniscience. Before you say anything, God already knows what you need. He knows because he's omniscient. There's nothing lacking in his mental, intellectual, wise arsenal of knowledge. Everything is there. Everything that is conceivable, everything that is true and right is in the mind of God already. And so God doesn't need you to give him a long, lengthy recitation of facts so that he can be brought up to speed on the situation. No, God already knows what you need before you ask him. There's something liberating about that. I've said this about prayer in times gone by. You know, let's be honest. All of us feel our own inadequacy in prayer. Whenever the topic comes up, we immediately start to slump our shoulders and say, yeah, I know I don't pray as much as I should. I don't pray like I should and all of that. And we feel very weak and inadequate in prayer as a result of that. I'm going to talk about that more at the end of the message. But here's what I want you to remember, something that I love to say and have repeated many, many times over the course of my ministry. If you are struggling in your prayer life, the answer is not for you to try to pray longer. That's where everybody starts, and that's always a mistake. You come to this recognition, oh, I've strayed from prayer, I'm not doing well in prayer, well, I'm going to start praying longer then. Well, that doesn't even make sense, does it? You say, well, I don't know, maybe it does. No, it doesn't make sense. If you're praying badly, why would you want to pray more? We were at a restaurant not long ago with my mother on her birthday, and the food was miserably bad. It was a big disappointment to want to take my mom out for her birthday, and then the food was just so bad on that night. Well, look, and actually we complained about my mom's meal. And here's what they did. Said, this food is bad. It's not acceptable. You need to fix this. And so what did they do? They brought out a replacement that was just as bad as the entree before. Well, look, if the food is bad, giving you more of the same food doesn't fix the problem, does it? You understand that. Why do you think that giving us more bad food would compensate for the bad food that you gave us in the first place? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're praying badly, if your prayers are meager and inadequate, then it would seem obvious to me anyway that the answer to that is to not just double down on praying badly and just expand the time in which you're spending on it. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Jesus says, don't be like those Gentiles who use meaningless repetition and say the same things over and over again in an effort to get God to hear them. Jesus said, don't be like that. The answer is not multiplying words, in other words, in order to fix your poor prayer life. That's not the answer. Jesus says, look at it there, and again in verse 8, he says, don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God already knows. This means that it's possible that brevity is better than multiplicity of words. And what does Jesus do based on omniscience? Just note, make this very simple observation. Verse 9, pray then in this way. Notice this. What Jesus gives you in light of the doctrine of omniscience, your Father knows what you need before you ask him, is a command. It is an imperative. He says, pray like this. Why do we pray if God knows everything? Well, at a very simple level, we pray because Jesus commands it. And for those of us that call him Lord, that's more than enough reason for us to pray. We recognize his authority, and if we knew nothing else, If there was no other information to inform our mind, it would be sufficient, it would be enough, it would be adequate to drive us to prayer to simply say, Jesus told me to. Jesus commands me to pray, and therefore I pray. And so we pray because the Bible commands it. You should pray because Jesus commands you to pray. He says, because God knows everything, you pray like this. And so, entering into the mind of your Savior, entering into the mind of your Lord, you should be thinking like this. Well, to Jesus, omniscience did not make prayer irrelevant. Omniscience became the grounds upon which we pray. And so, why do we pray if God knows everything? Because Jesus said to, and the fact that he commands us is enough. Now, elsewhere the Bible makes this same point. Look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So Paul, having laid out the grandeur of salvation and calling people to unity in the body and holiness of character, he says, you pray at all times in the Spirit. Scripture commands us to pray. Look over at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. just to show you that this isn't an isolated matter. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Devote yourself to prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Jesus said, pray then in this way. Turn to the next book over, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Why do you pray when God knows everything? Well, you pray because Scripture tells you to, because your Lord commands it. And that in itself is sufficient for us to obey. Now, it's the nature of God, it's the nature of Scripture, not to simply give us bare commands without giving us also understanding that informs our obedience to the command. Scripture gives us this command to pray, but it also informs the command with enough information, enough motivation to help us know and to be motivated to follow through on the command. I love this about Scripture. And so we could answer the question with a second way. Why should you pray if God already knows everything? Point number two, you should pray because God uses prayer to bless you. God uses prayer to bless you, therefore you should pray even though God knows everything. Now, go back to the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. We'll go to Matthew chapter 7 now. Remember that in chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus had said, pray in this way. He gives an imperative. He commands prayer. And then later on in the Sermon on the Mount, he attaches promises to the whole concept of asking things from God. He promises certain blessings that are attached, and the Word of God, the promise of God, can never be broken. God never violates His promise. He always does what He says He will do. And so, Jesus, mindful of the faithfulness of God to keep His promise, He is a promise-keeping God, then our ears should really perk up when we see what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, in the original language, the description of this has the idea of ongoing asking, ongoing knocking, ongoing seeking, that it becomes a pattern of life to apply yourself to make requests before the throne of heaven, to pray and ask God for things, and that Scripture says God will respond to that. Now, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, this is not a passage that promises or guarantees that God will give you every physical request that you ever make in prayer. That's not the context. That's not Jesus' point at all. What Jesus is teaching here and in the Sermon on the Mount is that we should be asking God to work in our hearts so that our lives reflect the righteousness that true repentance brings forth. The Sermon on the Mount opens with, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Actually, it opens one verse back saying, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Starts with an attitude of repentance, and then goes and shows what repentance produces in the life of a true disciple. Now, beloved, here's the thing for you. And just in this context of how God uses prayer to bless you, well, as a repentant disciple, as someone who is seeking Christ and desiring righteousness and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What Jesus is saying here is that you should continually be asking God to enhance your spiritual growth. You should continually be praying and asking God to multiply the evidence of His grace in your heart and in your life. Why would you do that when God already knows everything? Because He answers. Because when we ask for the right things, when we ask according to God's will, He hears us and He responds and He gives us that which we ask for. And so He uses prayer to bless us. Here's the thing. Somehow, in a way that I won't pretend to be able to explain in direct causation to you, somehow, beloved, God, in His sovereignty and in His omniscience, in His full control of all things that ever happen, somehow God gives to us in response to our asking. And in James chapter 4, verse 2, He says, you don't have because you don't ask. And so Scripture gives us this picture that we can't fully get our minds around, that God is fully sovereign and always accomplishes His will. And yet, somehow woven into the matrix of the outworking of His sovereignty, it pleases God to manifest His blessing to us in response to our prayers. Think about it this way. Think about farming. You know enough about farming to understand this illustration. A Christian farmer who fully believes in the sovereignty of God would do what? He would plant and he would harvest. Why? Because in God's sovereignty, that is the means that He has appointed to supply for the farmer. The farmer goes and he plants and he maintains the field. And then when it's full grown, he harvests the field. The Christian farmer doesn't say, God is sovereign and therefore I don't have to do anything. Everybody understands that the way the universe works is the farmer gets a crop only when he plants and harvests. That's how God blesses the farmer. Well, in a similar way, beloved, the way that it is with you is that we receive blessing through prayer that we would otherwise miss somehow. Somehow God gives in response to our asking. And in light of that, and the fact that God is far more willing to give than you are willing to ask, that God is generous and abundant with His people, and we are sometimes meager and shriveled in our prayers, we need to understand that God is far more willing to give in response to prayer than you are even to ask in that. Regardless of whatever your experience in prayer has been, regardless of how you evaluate your faithfulness in prayer, step back from your own self-centered perspective on it and look at what Scripture says. God gives in response to prayer. That is motivation for you to pray. That's why you pray. And beloved, we may not understand how human prayer intersects with divine sovereignty, but watch this. Mark this. Our overriding trust in God's Word, our confidence that Jesus always tells us what is true and God always keeps His promises is more than enough for us to say, I don't have to understand how all of this works. I don't have to know how an internal combustion engine works in order to drive the vehicle. Christ tells me that prayer, God blesses us through prayer, therefore I will pray because I see that laid out in God's Word. And don't you see it in your own life? Haven't you seen, Christian friend, haven't you seen that you have seen God, haven't you witnessed God dispense blessing in your life in response to prayer? Haven't you seen that? You've seen that, haven't you? And so, you have experience in your life that affirms what Scripture says on its own. We pray because God uses prayer to bless us.
Since the Bible commands us to pray, and since Jesus himself provided the example, that is reason enough. But seeing God use prayer to bless us, we should be even more excited to come before the throne of God. Pastor Don Green will provide a third reason to pray on our next broadcast, as he concludes his message titled, Why Do We Pray If God Knows Everything? So be with us then on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
Well, friend, if you have enjoyed this broadcast today, let me encourage you to do something that would be an encouragement to the partners who help make it happen. Drop a note, if you would, to the radio station that you've heard this broadcast on. They would love to hear that they have ministered to you because they love to share God's Word with you. And also, it will help them know that they're reaching people with God's Word through the ministry of the Truth Pulpit. So drop them a note and give them thanks. And be sure to tell them that you heard the Truth Pulpit on this station.
Thanks, Don. And friend, remember to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can find out how to get free CDs of our messages and series. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.